Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I know we say this every week, but this week we mean it.
Hot one.
This is going to be a fun one.
Hip-hop.
We got Cypher Sounds in the building. Now, before we get started on this episode, all right, great promo coming up. Do you like video games? We got a chance for you to win a PS5.
PS5,
you
boy.
Go to gasdigital.com and use promo code NNFA to get started. You will be entered for a chance to win a free PlayStation 5.
So what's the rules? Because I'm going to enter in my goddamn self. I don't... fuck these niggas. I'm trying to get a PS5.
You can't.
Derek, if they win, you also win one.
Wait a minute. So if they win, we win.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. That means, tell them.
You go ahead and win, and then we'll win, and then we can go ahead and play together, man.
I'll get a Twitch account. NNFA Twitch account if y'all win the goddamn thing, and then we'll have to talk shit on the games. So about that?
Hit the website, use promo code NNFA, get a 7-day trial, access to all of our content, our bonus content, and all of the other shows on the network. Let's get into it.
The whole way until niggas with demos came in, like, it's time to go.
Oh, no.
There's got to be a protector around. Always has to be one. And you need that in order to make things work, man.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh,
Black Air Force One gang is back
shit.
In the building. I'm the God.
I'm the great boy.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
All right, man. Well, we are back in full effect. We got a great guest here today, man. Prospect for the Black Air Force One gang, possibly. We'll see.
Oh, shit.
You know?
Oh,
but shit. We got Cypher Sounds in the building. What's
Cypher
going on, Cypher? Say hello.
What's good? I don't have a Steve Harvey impersonation.
Don't worry about that.
I'm good?
That was so long ago.
Just
nah,
sure.
You might have one.
I don't have
bit.
It. I just want to contribute. I just don't have that.
All right.
Nigga,
give us
you
what
good.
You got. What kind of impressions you got?
I don't have any impressions.
It's okay.
I feel like you can do a good Godfather, though, man. Like, you got... Because you got the laid-back demeanor and you whisper a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do.
Everything's a secret with Sype.
Sype humble. That boy quiet. That boy. Good night, TT. Good night, TT Martina. That's all I know.
All right, so for our people, man, we know who you are, but to make sure that they introduce you the way you want to be introduced, tell the people who you are, Sype, man.
My name is Cypher Sounds. I'm very famous in New York.
There he is.
I used to be on a famous radio station called Hot 97. From there, I branched off into a lot of different things. I was the DJ on the Chappelle Show. I was a VJ on MTV. I had a show on True TV called Laugh Mob Laugh Tracks. A&R.
I was on that shit.
You was?
Yeah.
I was like, it wasn't a question mark. I said, you was.
I'm like, didn't you host it? Didn't you bring him out?
I was.
Didn't you bring him the fuck out? I'm like, wait a minute. He don't remember bringing
him
out?
He didn't hear my New York twang. It sounded like a... A&R'd at a bunch of labels. I managed ours. I just saw all around Renaissance man in the hip hop community. Then just took a little side step into the comedy world.
So you just gonna come over here and just suck up comedy? You gonna dominate comedy now?
Simon's like he wanted the top dogs.
No. I'll tell y'all right now. From what I heard, there's a lot of radio people that step into the comedy world,
boo.
And they. What do you call that? What do you call that thing when you supposed to join a fraternity but you don't do it in college?
Pledge. Oh,
they skate.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of radio people skate into comedy. I promise you, I went through the rigmarole, paid my dues.
You did.
You know what I mean? Like any other. I want to be considered I got a name in a whole nother world, and yeah, sure, it gets me a couple of extra steps in the door, but I want my shit to be. Did it official.
Yo, you know what? I respect... That's one thing you got to respect about comedy, too, because motherfuckers do respect comedy when they come into it, at least in New York.
Yeah.
L.A., they disrespect the shit a little
Absolutely
bit.
Absolutely not.
But, like, people come to New York and be like, oh, okay, I see what this is. Like, I watch Blake Griffin, like...
Right.
Respect the light at New York Comedy Club. You know what I mean?
Respect the light.
Like,
it's who you come in through.
Okay.
If you got a good mentor, you come in the right way, you'll do it the right way. But if... But if your agent says, you do stand-up so we can get you in some auditions, then you're coming in the wrong way.
That's that playtime stuff. That's what all them actors do stand-up to practice.
So your agent humbles you that way?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I had proper mentors.
I was about to say.
Blake Griffin, I know, has proper mentors.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's doing it the right way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't matter what you've done before. If you do it the right way and you're funny, then it shouldn't matter.
True. Boom.
True. But a lot of people don't do it the right way.
You don't have to, though, man. We live in a world where this shit is different, man. I was just talking about this shit where, like, a friend of mine had his watching his daughter play on the playground, right? Yeah. So she's, like, 8. And they're playing tag with the other kids. And this kid is chasing his daughter because the kid is it.
Yeah.
She can't catch his daughter. She's actually turning on the turbo boosters, you know, pulling off. Girl that can't keep up immediately goes, stop. I called timeout. No fair. My mask was falling.
Boo. Boo, bitch.
But do you understand that mentality right there? Yeah. Like, I'm being outworked.
Right.
So I'm a pull in a quick, I don't know, an ace in a hole or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you already got that shit in your back. And she knows that at like 8 years old.
Yeah. And that's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
It's a lot of them out there that's like, yo, man, fuck that. Like, I'm losing, but like, you remember cartoons when you was little?
Okay.
Them shits like Speed Racer or what was the shit with the dude had a little dog in the car with him? They'd be winning a race, but they still stop the cheat.
Oh, you talking about the Hanna-Barbera races?
Oh, yeah, that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we all learn from that mentality. Like, yo.
What was that guy? What was that dog?
Mutley
was good. Who was the dog that went?
that's the nigga talking about, right?
That's cheating ass.
Right.
He was a fucking sneaky, shady ass dog.
Why are you cheating? Like, and they be ahead. They be in the lead and be like, you know what? Nah, let's lock some boulders down so can't nobody even finish the fucking race.
Nah, it's just us. Shit, they had a whole plan. He was fucking that dog. That's what that was.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, which version were you watching?
That was dark. That was
came out of nowhere. That's not even like
because they was too tight.
Derek, I liked it. Nah, you keep going to that shit.
Nah, because I'm like, for you to be like, all right, me and this conniving ass dog are gonna go all the way to the top, stop, and don't let nobody else win.
Oh yeah,
so it could just be us two. It's a little weird.
Right.
That's like crackhead couple level.
Yeah.
Cooperation, man. Because I honestly, I've never been a crackhead. Mm-hmm. I think before it's all over and done with, I might try to be a crackhead couple. Because
Dave Chappelle made it funny on
his
Chappelle show.
Yeah, they loyal.
Holy shit, man! You ain't never had that kind of loyalty. Have you seen a crackhead couple's loyalty? To go out, can you go out with your significant other and be like, yo, I'm gonna steal something out this store? And they'd be like, oh, I.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is loyalty.
They
to
with
each
the
other.
Shit. Whatever you say, there's no such thing as a bad idea.
Loyalty. Like, they.
Do you guys have that kind of loyalty?
Not that deep, no. Not
crack
deep.
Loyalty?
Yeah, crack loyalty is different.
Y'all married motherfuckers don't know about crack loyalty. I was getting off the train. I was getting off the train, and some nigga was laid out, and this woman was just fanning him. Just like, oh, y'all in this together.
Yeah.
She was just fanning him. I was like,
it shows you that's all people really want is just companionship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it don't matter what level you at, just somebody to just walk with, complain to.
Yeah, what Chris Rock say, you can't be unevenly yoked, two crackheads can make it. One of y'all can't go to church and one of y'all hitting the pipe. Both of y'all got to hit the pipe in order for it to work out. Yeah, that was a Chris Rock joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of piping pulpit. Couples out there, though, you know what I mean? I know a lot of female pulpit pastors that, you know, just got a whole dude at home.
Leave their husband home on Sunday. Yeah. We wrong, but he home. All right.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. So where you at with that kind of stuff, man? You a religious dude? Or?
No, I'm not religious, but I'm, I study, you know, I'm a 5%er. So I study all that.
Shit.
You know what I mean?
Yo, I'm actually reading
hip-hop.
Reading the Quran right now.
Yeah.
What? This shit is, you could tell it was a different time frame, man. Like the type of people that you got to speak to, you're like, holy shit, our intellect was
and then
different.
I read the Quran as a youth, like a little youth. I read the Quran being, reading Malcolm. I learned a lot about Malcolm X and then it led me down that path of reading the Quran. But when you read the Quran as like, from a former street dude angle, it's different than when you talk to an actual Muslim. Like, you know Mo Ammer, the comedian?
Yeah, I know Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been on tour with Mo, and hearing the Quran from an Arab Muslim explained more than like the street elements that we got it from is way different. Cause they know more like the words are the words, but they know like why the words became words. You know what I'm saying? What the prophet, what was going on in that era, in that time, for him to have to write these words.
Right, right.
Or not write them, but get the message.
That's cause that's what I'm getting out of it. Like I can feel like, oh, there's a purpose for this.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit going on.
Right, right. Absolutely. I understand that purpose, like, as like I've been head of the household, so I understand like trying to manage multiple people,
correct,
multiple personalities, and you're like, holy shit! Yeah, like, how do you get a hold of everybody's brain to be?
That's crazy. Ooh. I just got Wi-Fi in my room. That's the level I'm at. Y'all niggas trying to be head of households. I'm the head of my room,
we
bro.
Starting, we starting.
I got the files. I got that file shit.
But like your own joint.
The
like
Quran. I don't have to share with nobody. It's my room is a hot box, bro. Where in the Quran they talk about a nigga getting his own Wi-Fi? That shit is awesome. Got my PlayStation Pro refurbished.
Yeah.
I got a certified pre-owned PlayStation 4. That's some adult shit.
Yeah.
Where did
Where did you put it? Did you put it on top of the other PlayStation?
Nah. The other PlayStation is with the other two TVs in the front of my. We still waiting to sell it. So the other two TVs is just in my living room.
Okay.
Just sitting there. All dusty, like dusty technology.
Yo,
but my room is nice.
Niggas do that now. Like, remember when you was back in the day, you used to put the little TV on top of the big TV?
I love that.
That's what niggas do with the Quran says this nigga finally took the tape off his new TV. I just ripped the tape off my new TV. I had it for like 4 weeks already.
The screen cover tape, baby?
Yeah, the screen cover tape. I finally took it off.
No, my shit. My shit still got the tape over the Sony part, like on the bottom.
I had to do like that little blue tag on it for a little while. That told you the yellow tag on
it. To make it feel new? Why are you leaving it on there?
Because I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm like, man, when am I going to be responsible enough to rip the tape off this TV? I don't know.
Because
I can still see the shit. So right. The tape ain't really.
Because that's almost like. That's almost like car seat covers. I never understood that shit, man. It's like you keeping the shit next for the neck. Nice motherfucker, man. You know what I mean?
I used to keep the cardboard in my hat for a little while back in high school.
Just oh, yeah?
The form of it.
Yeah, you let it last longer.
Yeah, man. So where in the Quran did they cover that? Because I'm not at the head of household
I ain't
yet.
All the way through.
I ain't got that shit yet.
I just got past the don't fuck who chapter. You know what I mean? I just got past the who not to stick your dick in chapter.
Don't do that. That's what the Bible is. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do none
do
of this.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's what the Quran is.
I mean, you know, it's interesting to watch. There are people in this world who have followed their impulses, and then there's a lot of people in this world who have, repressed all of their impulses for a majority of their life. You know what I mean? We just lost one of the greats this past weekend.
Yeah.
Fucking DMX, you know what I mean? Rest in peace, you know what I mean? And X was somebody that you could probably see definitely, like, in his youth, jumped on a lot of impulses and then worked hard to suppress them and reverse that energy later in life.
You're saying you should be suppressing impulses?
Ooh, I don't know. Like, I don't have the answers yet, bro.
Because I feel a lot of people who was wilding when they was younger try to go 100% the opposite way, and I feel that's when they hit. It's like Mace.
Yeah.
Wilding.
That motherfucker hit a wall.
That becomes... super religious.
Right.
I feel if you wilding that much, you got to scale back increments.
Yeah.
When you go all the way the other way, it leads to different problems.
Absolutely.
I won't say I had the answers. I know I won't have the answers till I'm dead, right? Mm. But I feel like for the energy that you put in one way just to balance out your own life, some people got to go that far the other way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I see that. I understand the logic. It doesn't work for me.
Because of the other people involved, like because of the other people that it affects?
It's all extreme. I don't believe the extremes is what throws you off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also what makes you great.
Extremes?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Like, I mean,
like
think
Kobe,
about
like Kobe.
Right. Or I'm even thinking of the aspect of like playing football, right? Like, all right, if you're playing football, how you make a tackle? Run up to the person, wrap your arms around them, fall down, right? Okay, what's an extreme? Just throw your body at the motherfucker, right?
Oh,
now,
okay.
If you throw your body and pow. You're an all-star. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to be the extreme in order to, you know, get the highlight.
Humans literally like the extreme. That's why super soldiers, superheroes, like no one, everyone wants to be extreme.
Shut the fuck up, Dylan.
I don't want to be a superhero.
What the fuck 2 cents was that? Wait a minute.
No, I know what he said. I know what he said.
That wasn't for you. That was just, I did that for the fans because they fucking hate Dylan for doing what he just did.
Right.
Dylan, he's so comfortable.
Here go Dylan. Did you watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier? They're extreme. Nigga. I want you to be the man.
I love you, but yeah, I had to poke you back down with that one. That was hilarious. I watched people you grab the mic so happy.
You know, people love extremes, man. You know. Every night before bed, I warm up some warm milk and drink. That's what it felt like. But no, I see what you're saying. But with that, when you go and throw your body into a motherfucker, you take the risk of fucking your own neck up.
Yeah.
If you hit him in the chest. But you know how you know how niggas hit you with their head and
that's usually
spine.
That's usually what leads someone to go into the opposite direction is usually seeing somebody fuck up their neck or their spine, one of their homies, and see the rest of you be like, we were wrong this whole time, and now you turn around and tell all the little kids, don't do it. You know what I mean? Which I get it, but you got to be that extreme because you also know the energy that you're trying to stop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, like I talk about this shit all the time, where like I'm very aware of niggerish energy. Outside, you know what I mean? Like
you saved me many a night.
Yeah, like for what you talked about
coming towards you,
huh?
Or you
just like a Jedi, yeah, the Force.
Ain't nobody better than me. Ain't nobody
Nick. What was the story you just told? You said you had one where you had to clear out
with
a
Dave,
room, right?
With Dave Chappelle, we were in Denver. We went to this bar. It was this bar that they do Wu-Tang Wednesdays.
Okay.
Like all, it's not just Wu-Tang, but all like 90s hip hop.
What year is this?
Yeah. This is like 3 years ago.
Okay. So this is a problem. This is a problem. Yeah.
It's like 3 years ago. We go to Denver. We go to the one area that was the hood, but now it's being gentrified. But it's still like some elements. We go in there. Bar closes at 2. We stay there till like 4 or 5 in the morning. And at first, it was like a good amount of people in there. We was partying. Dave was like, we're going to close the doors, close, but we still going to party. And then I see security just start letting goons in. And they got rap demos. They got, flash drives. They trying to tell the DJ to play the flash drive. And they circling around Dave. And I was like, you know what, Dave? It's time to go. It's time to wrap this up. And he's like, he tells me, he's like, you got to cypher. That's how cypher. It's annoyance to you, but it's the time of their lives. And I was like, I was with you. I was with you from 2 to 4:30.
Uh-huh.
And then the element came in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, it's going to be the time of our deaths if we don't leave here.
Yeah, yeah.
And because then, Denver is hood. Like, John Lash used to tell me stories. Like, mountainous thugs.
Yeah.
Bro, I didn't even know that you could have thugs in the mountain. Can you imagine getting shot? And on your way out, you see a beautiful mountain range.
Is it,
like that. Like that's just fucking crazy, bro.
When is the day going to come where us being from Philly and New York or whatever, I mean, I already know it. There is hood everywhere. Why are we still, why are some people still shocked?
Because I don't go nowhere. I ain't never been to Denver.
There's hood everywhere.
I just think about, you know, you can't breathe right because it's high altitude and there's lodges everywhere.
You thought
of
all
Denver
just
is?
Skiing?
You know what I thought of Denver? Like, when I saw Dumber and Dumber, I was like, oh, that's what Denver is.
That's Aspen.
Right.
But that's Aspen, Colorado. Yeah. That's not even Denver. So it's like, I never been nowhere.
See, even,
I'm ignorant.
But even, because here's the fucked up part that also makes hoods pop up everywhere is influence. You know what I mean? So the shit that gets glorified in television and movies, if they got a TV, guess what? That shit's gonna pop up in your neighborhood, man. Yeah. Like, I say that now, this summer, you're gonna see the same shit that usually happens in the hood. You know how when it gets warm, niggas start wilding?
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna happen in the suburbs this year.
Yeah.
Just because they've been locked down for the past year, they frustrated, you know what I mean? They got the same, all of them gun closets is getting opened up.
Yep.
Not to mention, I'm eating a lot of ribs this year. It's gonna be a lot of rib eating, because it's gonna be barbecues everywhere. I can't wait.
Right,
that's all I see. Yeah, this might be the summer, but nigga, I'm eating a lot of grilled pork this year. I know I am. It's gonna be fucked up.
Jesus Christ,
chicken.
You plan on throwing any barbecues?
Absolutely not,
nigga.
What are you talking about? I'm pulling up. I'm bringing my own
nigga
aluminum foil. I'm bringing my own.
What's the nigga shit that?
nigga don't even plan on putting on. He want to go to all
go
the
to all of them, but don't throw your own.
You don't put nothing together.
I'm gonna bring ice. Bring ice. I'm bringing
you
ice.
You can't go to the ones. You can't go to the barbecues where the nigga was reluctant to do it, but does it anyway. That means there's gonna be no cups.
I don't
there's
care.
No,
oh yeah.
I don't care.
It's gonna be the worst.
I don't care. You gotta try.
You
got
say
you
barbecue.
Got,
I'm coming.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You got, but you gotta pull
empty
your weight.
Handed.
I will come. I will come to your Foreman Grill on the Stoop barbecue.
Right.
Because it's a start. You know what I mean?
So, okay. You show support. You show support.
I might have a first
right,
step barbecue.
Right. Now here's the deal. If by next year you still invite me to the Stoop for the Foreman Grill, yeah, nigga, we gonna push you to upgrade a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because I think about that now. Like, I got friends now that have, like, homes with the what do you call them shits?
The patio.
And the fire
deck.
Thing in
oh,
the back.
Fire
and,
pit.
Yeah, all that shit. So it's like, now we don't have to do that. Like, I'd be like, oh, why don't we go to your house and do that? And you can't really get niggas together. That shit pissed me off. When I was younger,
yeah.
Man, a nice weekend, we'd be driving around looking. Son. For a barbecue, right? And
have
nobody,
your own. Yeah,
no one was gonna let us in. You know, four or five niggas jammed in a Jeep driving
four
around.
Four or five niggas jammed
son,
in a Jeep.
I would tell you how it don't matter what level you get, the nigga them could still come out.
Okay.
I'm out of stage last night. We had a little secret pop-up show with Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And it gotta be 2 a.m.
Okay.
And I think I'm pretty sure it was Busta. Busta calls Talib Kweli. I'm pretty sure, because I know they was waiting on Busta to come.
Right,
okay.
And Kweli was DJing with my setup, and he pauses the music. Everybody's chilling. He pauses the music to answer the call. And I don't know who it was. I'm assuming it was Busta.
Okay.
Because I know he was supposed to be there.
Okay.
And he literally must have asked, who all over there? Because
wow.
Talib just starts listing every Dave here, Cypher here. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
Said,
I do that a lot.
You still bro. Do the who all over there?
That's the shit that fucked me up too, because I'm at the same show. And the fact that Dave is on stage and he goes, all right, I guess I got to get it. Is Chris here? Like, the yeah. fact that he had to ask, yes. and he goes, okay, Chris Rock was supposed to come, but he flaked on me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, even at that level?
That level.
Yeah. At that
nigga
level,
shit.
You
Dave was definitely stalling. He had finished his set,
yeah,
and I was just
so
rambling.
Funny.
Waiting for Chris to come.
This nigga's going back and forth with Will.
It's
Chris. We're reading the paper. Here, do another joke from the paper while we wait for Chris Rock, nigga ass, to finally show up.
Yo!
That's so
the
funny.
Fact that
yo,
you, cause you would
there?
Feel like at that level, you could text your man and be like, yo, I'm not coming.
Right.
You could just be like, yo, I'm not coming. Not like,
yeah.
let me see. I'll let you, I play it by ear. Like, damn.
Yes,
like, cause I don't know. Like, I don't have it in me to do that to people. I don't have, are you one
I
of those
can't.
People? Cause you like 15 minutes and you be like, I'll be there 15 minutes. Five
oh,
hours later, I'll be there
never,
15 minutes.
Never.
Do
I can't do it. I'm on point. I've been here. You told me this starts at 2 o'clock. I've been outside since 1:15.
God damn. I'm sorry.
I can't say I'm sorry,
but you know.
Has nothing to do with you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play that. Your time is the only thing we can't get back.
So let me ask you this. How do you, because I struggle with this. I'm on point now too, but most of my on pointness has come in the past couple of years, right? Like how do you not take it personal?
Because
I be wanting to know what other niggas is doing.
What were you doing?
I be legit wanting to know so I can help you.
Son,
like,
listen, when I was on the morning show with Peter Rosenberg,
okay.
before we got the morning show 6 to 10, we did a pre-show.
Okay.
It was 5 to 7, and Big Boy would come on syndicated from L.A.
Okay.
We had to be there at 5 a.m. Rosenberg would show up 5:20, 5:30, blah, blah, every day. Every day. I'm like, bro, you killing me. You
mm-hmm.
killing me. Then we get the morning show. We start at 6.
Yeah.
So now we have to be there at 5:30. I said, Rosenberg, don't change nothing. Change nothing.
Yeah.
And you will get here on time.
That's so
do
funny.
Everything
That's so
you was
funny.
Doing. Set your alarm the same way. Pretend nothing
don't,
changed.
Yeah.
Bro, he starts coming 6:30, 6:45. Just do what you were doing. Like, you don't have to change. The world catered to you.
Yeah, man.
Right, right. Were you ever able to get to the bottom of what happens?
No,
or were
I don't.
Because that's the crazy thing, right? Like, the closer you are with somebody, the less you can't really dig in to find out. Like, how do you map out your...
I don't know what it is, but I just judge time. People think 5 minutes... is like 5 minutes, but 5 minutes is really 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta adjust. If you think
I don't trust anybody who says that's 10 minutes away.
You know when you look at your navigation, when you look at your navigation on the phone, it'll say like 4.3 miles, right? That's a straight line from where you are to where the next place is. It calculates a straight line.
Right.
But when you drive, you zigzag, and you got to go over a bridge, and you got to go around a turn.
Yeah.
So it's not 4.3. It's like 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it says 10 minutes, it's going to be more.
Yeah.
And it's like Waze doesn't calculate traffic
and
lights.
You still got to calculate finding parking, walking to the venue. Do I need to stop at a store?
Like picking up weed.
Yeah.
The walk from the car to the venue is 5 minutes. There's no way, you can't ever say I'm 5 minutes away when you park and walk to the place is 5 minutes.
Right.
So you're 20 minutes away.
Right. Yeah. Here's my first time when I learned about the value of time,
okay.
Right? When I went from being a young bachelor to a family man, mm-hmm. right? I used to be able to wake up on Sunday after doing comedy, mm-hmm. Laugh House, we'd be doing 2 o'clock. I could wake up 10 o'clock and be like, oh, shit, I could go catch the matinee movie. Mm-hmm. If you get there before like 11, it was
$5. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could throw on a T-shirt, brush my teeth real fast, roll on, boom, I'm in it seeing the latest movie, $5, mm-hmm. right? Fast forward. Few years later, got 2 kids, and I got a lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up Sunday, I should go see the movie. Yeah, we could make it to the movie, right? Like, yo, babe, you want to go see the movie? Mm-hmm. She go, let me get the girls ready, and we could go. And this not going to happen, right? Yeah. So basically, long story short, we late to the movie where we get there. I think we was going to see like the latest Jurassic Park. And this is like,
wow, this is a long time ago.
Like, yeah, like when IMAX was like the shit, right? So like we get to the thing, I'm expecting, $20 for tickets. But we get there, and because the way we get there and the way the movies is staggered, the only thing that was available was 3D IMAX, which them tickets was like $20 something a piece. Yeah. But that don't start for 40 minutes. So now I got to put video games on the kids, food and all that. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in the seat. I'm $144 in. And I'm twitching, dog. Like, I can't even enjoy the fucking movie because they can't move. You know what I mean? That shit was crazy.
That's the one thing I'm not going to say regret about having kids because I don't regret it at all. But the one thing I hate is just getting up and walking out the house.
Yeah.
You can't. Even if you're not bringing the kids with you, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't just get up and walk out.
Yeah.
You got to make sure they're fed, make sure somebody's watching them, changes, all that's like, I used to just get up, boom, shower, out. Right. I still do that. I have a number.
I don't know what the fuck.
But see, right. That's why
that's life, man.
That's why it's fascinating. Like, I'm not going to say I look up, because I'm not wording that at all. I'm not looking up to dudes who walked out. But I do admire your ability to just, wow.
I don't admire it.
Okay.
I get it. I get it. I don't admire it. I can't. There's something about the love from a kid because there's so much stress involved with it and there's so much work you got to put into it that something has to equal out.
Yeah.
So when you get those moments where they're showing you the love, you're like, oh, this is heaven.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you don't get to that point, if you're one of those fathers that like didn't even get to that point,
okay.
I see how you can leave. But
it takes 3 months to attach. Would you say that?
I attached to my daughter right away. My son and I, we didn't fuck with each other, yo.
Mm.
We didn't fuck with each other. Now we do.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like who this little nigga in the crib, yo? Like, yeah, me and my daughter was like right away. Like this is like when my daughter was born. It's funny. Like I stuck my tongue at her. Like a first hour born.
Right.
And she like stuck her tongue out at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she, it was probably just a movement of a baby. They didn't know what they were doing, but it was like a moment for me.
That's when I
attached.
Yeah.
This kid. Yo, it was like 5 months, yo.
Yeah. Yo, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I think the first one caught me like that the same way, like, because her mom was passed out, so they gave it to me, and I'm like, and I'm looking at her. I was young, though. I was 19, so I was scared to death.
Yeah, yeah.
But my second one, I remember it was her vision popped in, but she's like 3 months old, you know what I mean?
And we laying
on the couch, and then you watch literally her eyes go from being crossed to, and then she smiled, and I'm like,
Look at this little motherfucker. And then that's when we was cool after that. You know what I mean?
But
prior to that, I was carrying that motherfucker around like a frozen turkey. Like, yeah, whatever.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, change it. You know what I mean?
That's wild.
Change it.
Do your thing. All right, man. It's 27 minutes in. Dylan, can I get some plug music, man? Let's see what we got going on. Real quick, Sife, you got anything you want to plug? Make sure you turn that music up too, man. That should be
put
low.
On that.
What am I plugging?
You got some shit. Oh, new podcast coming up, right?
I like how you do it right in the middle.
Yeah.
A lot of people wait to the end.
Nah, and nobody watches it to the end, so you know.
At the very end? My name is Sife Sounds, at Sife Sounds, CIPHA. Just follow me. I appreciate that. I got a new podcast with my friend Will Sylvans. It was a horrible mistake. I'm doing a podcast with this guy. I don't know why. I did this. It's called Talk Clearly. It launches April 14th, whenever you're listening to this.
To the
April
most
14th.
Unclearest talker on the planet.
He makes me talk dumber.
Will can't talk.
Yo, the biggest heart in the world. I love to do the
day. Yeah, one of the greatest.
Cannot speak English. Cannot speak Creole either because he's Haitian. He can't speak.
Yeah.
But that's coming out. Talk Clearly, the podcast. I also have... Juan Epp is Dead, which is me and Peter Rosenberg, the classic hip-hop Juan Epp podcast relaunch. It's called Juan Epp is Dead, so make sure you check that out. Where podcasts are heard.
Word.
All right. Derek, anything coming up, man?
April 21st.
Oh. It is.
NNFA Comedy Jam at the Stand. It's the first readaptation of the 90s Def Jam saga. Me and Dave are going to be hosting. A lot of black acts, Latino acts.
Blackness.
We gonna just try to embody that.
What's it called?
NNFA Comedy Jam. Whoa. No need for apologies, Comedy Jam. Not the Def Jam, but we're gonna try.
Oh, that's dope.
We're gonna have fun, man. It's gonna be a dope vibe. Buy the tickets. Come on out, man. And don't forget, special attraction on this first one. We got Matt Richards, who we had on this show, who's going through comedy. But he's also going to hypnotize Dylan. Dylan, go ahead and talk about that, man. Now get on the fucking mic.
Now fuck you. You ruined it. Bitches, y'all don't get me.
That's right, Dylan. Well,
Dylan has
shit.
Agreed to be knocked out. All right?
Why is he so angry, though?
Because I told him to shut the fuck up earlier.
Told him to shut the fuck up. And he's been harping on it.
Right, that's
Dylan Harper. Yeah, yeah. He harps on a lot of shit.
So if you want to see me come get hypnotized, come the 21st.
Yeah,
so,
come on and Dylan see that. We'll probably do that as bonus footage also for the people that aren't in New York. You know what I mean? To make sure you subscribe behind the paywall. DaveTempleComedy.com for my special. The second one and my tour dates. Miami, I'm coming here this week. Arizona, I'll be there in May. Minnesota, Derek and I'll be there in June.
June 17th through 20th.
And Houston, Texas, November. That's a ways away, but just make sure you know that we're coming into your city, all right?
Man, Arizona, too.
Arizona's November, August. It's all up on DaveTempleComedy.com.
Should we build
a website for No Need for Apologies, Pickle? Should we? Who's going to manage that?
Who the fuck man? Who's going to look at me?
I'm out of nerves.
We're out of hands.
Yeah.
Nigga, I type with two fingers. I know I can't do it. I type like this. Yeah. So I can't manage nobody's website. I want to try, but I'm not good. Let me clear it up. I'm not tech savvy.
We should make a website, but
that
it's just
only
purely is, Derek just
that's only
updating
that's
and doing his best.
Oh, no.
Just to see what he can come up with.
That's going
to
look like construction paper.
Literally.
And crap.
It's like a monkey trying to write Shakespeare, man.
I'm here to do this. The house done. That's website, right?
Oh, shit.
I'm terrible at technology.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, man.
I don't know.
You'll make it, though.
I sold you my laptop because I didn't want it no more. Yeah. I didn't know what to do with it.
My daughter needed a laptop, and she wanted a MacBook, and I'm like...
Yeah, I got one.
Can I have yours, please?
I was like, yeah, give me $400 and you got it.
Yeah. And then I came through, I look like a G. Like, yo, my dad got me
damn near brand spanking new. Like, fuck it, because I was on it and I typed up one little script.
Which also.
And I don't like this shit.
Does that make me a good dad or a bad dad? Because I definitely got her a laptop, but it came with no box. Like, my shit was definitely in a book bag. Like,
did she get what she asked for?
Yeah.
Good dad.
How'd you just literally just gave it to her in a book bag? Did you wrap it?
No.
If you rap, you gotta rap it.
Nah, we not that type of family, man.
We don't do that rapping shit. Maybe a gift bag, but you ain't do gift bags.
Huh?
gift bag at least?
Well, for what?
Yeah, you're right.
You asked for it, I delivered.
Presentation.
Huh?
It's the presentation. You know when you go to a nice restaurant and you order like some Brussels sprouts?
That shit annoys me.
The little sauce drippings on the side.
Yeah,
little half moon.
You know why it annoys me? Because I'm still hungry, and now I'm sitting there scooping that shit up with my fork like a savage, looking like I don't belong in this fucking restaurant.
Am I supposed to eat this?
Yeah.
Is it there for show? What am I here? What are we doing?
Don't bring me no rectangle plate. That shit infuriates
me. Fuck that. I like the rectangle plate. I've been eating bougie since I was 10.
Nah,
I like all that shit.
Dessert, and it's mostly my dessert got powdered sugar just everywhere but on my fucking snack. That's weird,
the dressing.
Man. Yeah, that's
presentation.
Weird. Nah.
Plating. That's what they call it. Yeah, plating.
Plating.
Nah.
Plating is nice.
I'll put a steak between some Wonder Bread with some ketchup on it.
See, that's your problem. That's your problem.
Yeah.
That's ketchup on steak? You might as well storm the Capitol, nigga.
Yeah, what are you doing?
That's terrible.
What are you doing?
Speaking of which.
You putting ketchup on your well-done steak, I'm assuming.
Oh, no.
I'm assuming.
Oh, no. Well done. I remember my grandma and my aunt used to get burgers at the fucking steakhouse and get it well done.
No, burgers. I like burgers well done.
I hate burgers well done.
I like burgers well done is good.
It's a brick in between tomato and lettuce.
Yeah. Let me tell you the N-words that fly in the kitchen. When it could be the richest Nick Shaq could come in there, whoever, and maybe like, well done. And the kitchen like, fucking niggas. The moment you say well done, they go, ugh.
That's a nigga to do that.
I'm not
niggas
well.
Don't like
here's the
meat.
Thing. Here's the weird thing. I'm not a well done. Somewhere I did learn to say medium well.
Yeah.
And I just roll with that.
Medium well's great.
Yeah.
Medium well's great.
But I don't know what I'm looking for.
So
I don't know.
Get medium.
Right. Like so.
Here's what I had to learn. I like the charred taste.
Okay.
So now I learned what you do is you just tell them to char the outside. So I get it medium or medium well, you char the outside. Then I get, because I like that
crispy.
But I thought you had to say well done to get that.
Nah.
And then in the kitchen, they like, these, get them out of here.
Because you know how long it takes to well done a filet?
Man,
a filet is thick. It takes forever, and then you ruin it.
Mm.
Like, you're supposed to get like medium, medium well, charred, the steak butter hits it.
Mm-hmm. The kitchen's just pissed you're ruining the fuck out of their food.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Also, on the other side, though, fuck you, give me what I want. All right?
Absolutely.
I'm paying, give me what I want.
That's the other side of it.
Give me what I want. Listen, I don't need you to decide how my food's supposed to be.
Well done, nigga.
Give me my well-done steak, and I'm paying for it in cash, bitch.
Well-done steak. Paying in cash. Five-star restaurant. Fuck your Del Frisco's. Black Air Force Ones.
Nah, lady.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't need that little digital card reader. I'm paying in cash. Thank you.
Yeah, fuck your QR code.
Cash. Blue faces, man.
No. And I got a bunch of 20s, but while I'm counting it to pay you, I'm going to line them up, make sure the faces is pointing the same way. Yo, I know this dude back in the day. He's from Harlem. He only counted his money if the money had to be facing 8th Avenue, son. So wherever he was in New York, like if 8th Avenue
what kind
was
of 5%
like 145th, 145th and 8th, whatever it is, and he would turn his body like it was Mecca, like with
that's
where am
so
I?
Fucking he hilarious. Count,
he's like, I'm Harlem, baby.
Yo, that's
got to be toward Harlem.
That's the kind of fucked up. That's the kind of fucked up programming that gets in you and it's there for life.
That's absolutely hilarious.
The top of Andrew Jackson's head had to be pointing to Lenox Ave or whatever.
I love the arrogance.
That's so great.
I love the arrogance of New Yorkers too to even tell people that shit. Like that's one of those things where 100%. You just don't even utter to nobody.
Nah.
But a nigga will gladly tell you, I sat Andrew Jackson's face.
Every time.
They got a face.
Every time.
8th Avenue.
Yo, that's Roy so Wood fun. Jr., he tried to get me for a show. He had a pilot. He was like, I want you to be on the pilot. He goes, you got just everything you ever say is like, before you say it, you go, I'm from New York.
Okay.
Because you know, like when New York cats go down to college.
I'm from New York.
I'm from New York. We don't do all that. Like, well, you're not in New York right now. Shut up.
That's the funny thing, too, to me, what New Yorkers that I've noticed is there's no in between. No. Everything is very extreme. It's either the best ever or it's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
Nothing is just I.
Nah.
Like, only way something is I is if it's to like acknowledge it, but yeah. tell you what the best is.
Okay,
right, you know what I mean? Right. Like, that's the only way. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, who got the best? Yeah, he should I. But this nigga, like, that's the whole. Everything is the best ever, and they're so fucking confident in this shit, man. never left New York. Like, nah, it's the best pizza in the fucking world, hands down. He's like, okay, so
hands
yeah,
down
like,
in the world.
In the world,
we on one island.
It's the water.
Now, Saif, we always ask everybody this when we come in on these questions, man. Here on No Need for Apologies, you know, we pride ourselves on not apologizing. Has there ever been a time in your life that you probably should have apologized, but you didn't?
Here's my problem with this situation. I'm actually a very big apologizer.
Okay.
I don't like having no lingering beef. I don't like having no lingering problems. If I find out somebody got an issue with me, I try to deal with it right away. But yes, of course, there's times where I should apologize. But what, even if you don't know the person, or it has to be someone?
Nah, you picked the story.
You should apologize, but you didn't.
You just tell the story. We call it Black Air Force One story. Matter of fact, well, you want me to give you an example of a Black Air Force One story?
Give me one, but I do have one.
Dylan, can I get my Black Air Force One music, man? We actually had some listeners start to write in with their stories. I fucking love this, man.
Black Air Force One music.
Black Air Force One music is just a little background beat that we play as we talk about some of the shit we've done in Black Air Force One.
This is it.
Yeah. Turn it up just a little bit too, Dylan.
Black Air Force One forum, send in your stories. And we're going to read a story that was sent in to us, Black Air Force One forum.
All right, so this one came from, fuck is this dude's name? I said I wasn't going to give people's names, so I'm not going to give the names, but shit, hold on, I got to see where I put the message. I should have had this prepped,
nigga,
in advance. I got you, hold on. All right. Shout out to NFA. This is some Griselda type beat.
Yeah.
So I used to work in a casino in Arizona.
Okay.
One of the restaurants, and they have those player cards that you sign up for and give you a discount on points and shit.
Of course.
On my last day as a waiter, my first customer was an old lady who bought an open-faced turkey sandwich. She used an all-black player's card that I never saw before. And it turned out it was the highest ranking one. She got a steep discount, and she paid cash and left the card. So this is the real rewards card she left behind. Bro, it must have had 50K in Players Club points racked up on this thing. Cue the Black Air Force One energy. I used the card on every traction that paid cash that day, and they didn't want change. Follow me here. So the customers come in. They rack up a $50 tag.
Okay.
They give me $60 in cash. I leave. I already got a $10 tip, but I swipe the card to get the 40% discount.
Okay.
Pay the cash and the discount, and then pocket the other $30 on top of my $10 tip.
Respect that.
And he ran up. Said he walked out of there with about $2,500 on a Tuesday night.
Wow.
Oh, shit. I love it, man. Now, I would like, you know what I forgot to ask people? He said he started getting ballsy and buying entire meals with their points and taking cash. Before he left, he called his mom and asked her if she wanted any food.
Dang.
Because it was all going to be free. He brought home a brunch, food, and paid for it all with points. Quit, never went back. Desserts, crab cakes, all that shit.
Oh, he quit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have been ballsy to sit there and stay up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the type of ignorance that I'm for it.
Because you hustling, right?
I'm for the hustle.
Especially if you're ripping off the big guy.
I'm not for it. That's a way to get caught, though. If you racking things in a register, in a casino where there's dumb cameras everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But if he was quitting anyway,
Absolutely.
That's how it is, you know, when you, because your Black Air Force energy, it starts off, it's very juvenile.
Juvenile. Okay.
Your scams are, you know, they're smaller and all that, but as you grow, your appetite grows, and your scams ain't necessarily scams anymore as they is just clever ways of thinking outside the box, you know what I mean?
Come ups.
I used to do Megabus scam. I remember.
Tell the Megabus scam.
Is basically what would Chris do? He would screenshot.
We found a way to take, like, we found that on the confirmations on Megabus, it was just like one number would change.
Right.
So we would just Photoshop the number, and this was before they had the scanny technology.
It was before the scan.
It was just some hood dude that'd be like, Yep.
And he be saying slang to the passengers like we know what the fuck's going on. Yo, the reason the bus late, the bus over there pre-tripping, nigga. The fuck is pre-tripping?
So
what is a pre-trip?
We used to be able to get on the bus without paying.
Pre-tripping.
Right? Yeah. Now, this is where the shit get out of control because it was a lot of us running back and forth on this hustle. I'm talking about, let me not throw everybody names at the
Don't
shit.
Don't throw the names.
My man gets caught one night. Well, not get caught, but we get on the bus, and it's the last bus leaving New York. It's crowded, right? And my man don't have no ticket. They throw him to the side, like, on the standby, but he still go ahead and slide on the bus anyway, and he hop in. Now, in the bus full, it's people with legitimate tickets can't get on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the dude at the door, he has no idea what the fuck happened. He's right. Like, I can't. I don't. Yeah, yeah. All I know is there's nowhere. So the lady is out here. I gotta go. I need to work tomorrow. Like, and my man was on the bus sound asleep, like sleeping through this woman crying about how she's gonna get fired from her job. He's like, nope, gotta get back to Philly.
That's so funny.
Oh shit, man.
Sleep in guilt.
Yeah. So yeah, shit like that, man. Probably okay, should have apologized, but didn't.
Okay, I had a different story, but something like that, that's more kind of scammy. I used to work in a mall in Long Island. I went to high school in Long Island. I'm from the Bronx, but I went to high school in Long Island. I worked at a KB Toys.
Okay.
And a Music World.
Set it up.
Which was like, you know, bootleg Sam Goody, where there was like CDs shop. Yo, I used to go in there. I used to do the early shift. So it was like when it opened, 10 a.m. or something. And anybody that came and bought a CD, if it was like $21.99, I'm like, just give me 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Give me 20.
Okay.
Give me 20.
Okay.
And then I would take the 20 and then I would press the receipt button where you just the shit makes a noise.
No sale, yeah.
But it's just the address, the time, and then blank. And I would put it in the bag. And I'd be like, yeah, good, thank you so much. And I started getting bold. I started just because they would check your bag at the end of your shift.
Yeah.
They'd look in your bag. So I started just taping CDs to my body. Like going to the bathroom before the shift was closing, ending, and I would tape CDs all over my body, and I would walk out like.
Isn't it amazing how Black Air Force One and energy? Yeah. It'll take over, man, because you get bold and you just start pulling off legit fucking heist, so Ocean then, 11 shit.
Then I worked at KB Toys, and I don't know if y'all from Philly. I don't know if they did this.
But I know KB Toys,
and I used to work Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings they used to. On WBLS, they used to play like a Farrakhan speech.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be cleaning the store before it opened, mm-hmm. listening to Farrakhan on like a Barbie radio or something. And then there was always a hot toy. There was always a hot toy that everybody wanted. It was a crazy thing back in the toy store days, especially around Christmas. I remember the Home Alone movie came out. Remember he had that thing, the Talk Boy?
Yes. Yeah, the Talk Boy.
Talk Boy was... I don't know if they sold any Talk Boys because I would just hold them in the back and just wait for people to come. Like, yo, come back here. They're like, it's $29.99. I'm like, give me 40. Give me 40. Boom, boom. And I'll just give it to them.
Upcharge by $10. That's
upcharge.
So great.
And I would steal anything that was collectible, like the X-Men would come in, but there was Iceman was like a collectible one. It only came like one in every four boxes.
Oh, wow.
So I took all the Iceman out. And just would sell them on the side.
That's dope.
So I don't, but do you have to apologize to a corporation? I mean, KB Toys did go out of business.
Man. Solely from Cypher Sounds. KB went out because of this motherfucker named Cypher Sounds.
I do feel that way now because I look, I ain't going to lie to you. I have a bad habit of doing this now where like, if I go to like Dollar Tree and the line is too long, I'm like, yo, fuck that. I'm taking this shit.
Just walk out.
Yeah, right? Because it's like, they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? They don't give a
Well, I do that at CVS.
Good, good.
Like, when you do the self-checkout.
Yeah.
Just whatever you're buying, just put two things in the bag. You scan one, and you drop two things in the bag.
Yeah.
Because the machine, you know, feels
I think it's also good for you, too, because it satisfies that get-over itch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and it's not, you're not hurting nobody's big, you know?
But the thing is, CVS is, they account for all that.
Yeah,
so, like, they go, it's still less money than us paying someone to work here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, if they had an employee, that would cost them whatever, 50,000 a year, 40,000 a year. Stealing is only 19,000 a year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's like, it's still less than us paying somebody, so we still win.
Wow, so they really don't give a fuck.
I used to, you ever do the Wawa scam? The Wawa scam is the easiest one.
Was that like the sandwich
basically
ticket?
Basically, you get a sandwich, get the receipt,
yeah,
put it in your pocket, go around the store, buy what you're going to get, right? And then when they done with your sandwich, just take the sandwich and walk the fuck out.
Okay, so this is that was obviously the thing. I used to hate paying for sandwiches. Yeah. I felt like an idiot if I paid for a sandwich at Wawa.
It's like water.
Then, remember when we was driving back and forth for years, we knew all the Route 1 Wawas and shit. When you got to like Newark and New Brunswick,
the ones up,
they don't make the sandwich until the shit, beep, like until it get paid for at the register. So every time I was in there standing like, fuck is my number at? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm really mad. Like, I paid for the shit. Like, I'm really like, yo, where the fuck is 451 at, right? And she be like, let me see. This one ain't been paid for yet.
And don't even start. They don't even see
they
it on
even
their
start
screen.
Making a fucking sandwich. Oh, you got to be legit, see?
But it's funny, but too, when you had that look like,
South Jersey.
Oh, you knew what I was about to do.
South Jersey, why, bruh? Whole meals. Like, we going with that little sample cup.
Yeah.
You just keep, you just hang out back there.
Yeah,
go get some chips. Act like you ordered a sandwich as soon as that shit, because they don't swipe. They never swipe.
Grabbing pretzels from the register and eating them while you walk around the store, while you waiting on your shit. Like, I laugh when I see motherfuckers come up with the crinkly bag, like, oh, here I ate one. Like, nigga, what you paying for that for, man? Put this
down. Yeah, man.
No, my boy used to go into a store. He would walk into a bodega. He would grab two of something.
Okay.
Two cans of soup or two something, da-da-da-da. He'll walk back through the store, throw it in his pocket, go up to the register and be like, oh, you know what? I don't want this. And then, because it looked like he just took one.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like
that. Yeah, that's a lot that he's doing, too. That's so funny, because, but that's funny, man.
You know, I thought it was a clever scam that I don't know if anybody ever did in real life.
What's that?
You ever watch Jay and Silent Bob movies? I think one of them, it was really clever. Some dude was drinking a Slurpee, and he had enough money to get another Slurpee. So he sticks his hand down his ass, right? And he goes up to the cashier, and he says, yo, something smells funny.
Oh.
Something, because he'd hold the cup, but his
Dumb
hand,
and Dumber.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber. So he'd hold up. Dangle, thank you, Dumber. So he was like, something smelled funny with my fucking Slurpee. So he you know, he waved the Slurpee in front of the dude's face. Yeah, something is wrong. Go get another one. And he get a free Slurpee.
Ah.
But you got to stick your hand in your ass to do the whole thing.
It's funny, though. Like, I also feel like a little bit entitled to it, like, because it's like it's less than somebody wilding out and like fast food. I always wonder that, like, the people who get caught stealing and don't want to get a shit up, like the people who have a standoff with the security guard where they be like, yo, just empty the shit out, and they be like, fuck you talking about, and then it's like, once they just rip all of the shit out of their bag, they be like, well, fight me then.
So what you say? What am I stealing?
Yo, and it's
well,
sad.
Fight me,
the
pussy.
Funny thing to me about it is, it's like, I don't understand it, but I do understand it. Like, I understand those people. I don't fully get the mentality, but I'm just so familiar with it where I'm like, well, I know what comes next.
Yeah, it's hood pride.
Right, you know?
Hood pride is the number one killer.
Street pride.
But,
man.
No, nobody, like, because this, I see this shit in New York. This is funny. Like, VIM, they always got pictures, big-ass pictures of motherfuckers that be stealing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know these niggas know people in the neighborhood. It's like, yo, son, they got your picture up.
Yo, son.
Like, one store in Brooklyn, they got a 32-inch TV that's just doing a slideshow.
Of niggas stealing. That's so fun. You ever see the boy that committed a crime and they face me on the billboard on the highway?
Yeah,
he made it all the way to the highway?
You got to be a little bit proud of that, nigga. Yeah. Like, yo. Fuck what he did, Grandma. I got a billboard on 95.
Billboard up on 95. Granted, I'm robbing niggas, but I made it. I made it. You said you can leave this earth after I make it.
Oh my God, man. We'll see. Hey, I don't know. But I stole from a Dollar Tree a lot in my neighborhood. Now it's closed. I don't know if I had anything to do with that, but whatever.
Yeah, man.
So these are bad.
That's what they say.
These are bad, but we're trying to recreate the narrative and make them good.
But it's just the all black ones.
Yeah, they got to be black, all black Air Force Ones.
Because I got black Air Force Ones on, but I got the white
don't count.
The white bottom.
It's got to be the brick.
Well, okay. Yeah. So we could pull up some of the memes there, Dylan. Some Black Air Force One's memes, just so we can. Just which so I'm surprised, because like, this is maybe this might be a generational thing. You know what I mean? Like, how old are you, man?
44.
Yeah. So you never heard, like, because I know they say it's like the kitchen shoe. And that's right. The shit that they yes. be going, but it also became the shoe.
Nigga fit to steal the plane.
Like people that they just
oh no.
And apparently I don't know whether we did it or not, but the shoe is sold out everywhere right now. Like the you cannot get a Black Air Force One on Foot Locker.
Out of stock.
Yeah, anything hot. If something gets trending and hot, it's gonna go.
I hope people are worried though. They're worried that crime is gonna go up this summer because these shoes have cleared the shelves or whatever.
Look, man, if I help, you know, putting these out of stock, then fine. But let's all recreate the narrative. Let's not be criminals.
Okay.
Let's be safe.
Can you do anything to them? I mean, can you, like, put a different lace in? Like, can you style them up a little bit?
You can style them up, but it's got to be the black. Is for some reason, this has such connotation on it. Such a negative connotation. I don't know why.
I think it's a jail it looks like a jail shoe.
Fine.
Well, you know what? I like,
All Black Tims is kind of... That's a cool move. Like all Black Tims are sexy. I don't give a fuck.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny too? We brought up X earlier, and I thought about this where my last time seeing X was at a Meek Mill concert in 2019. I think February 2019, and he was still wearing Black Tims with like the shiny jeans from like the Rough Riders.
Yeah, like the Red Monkey jeans.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm like, yo, man, my man, like he's really committed to that.
He
you know?
Found an era of fashion that he liked.
Yeah,
and he stuck with it, and I respect. Even when he did the verses, he had on like a older sweatsuit or something, right?
Yeah, man. I like that though. I like y'all used to kill me about my jeans, and this nigga still wear wide leg jeans. But I looked up to niggas like X, and no one was giving him no problems about his fashion.
No one.
My man, like he was always wearing like the silver chains. Like it never felt like he did like blinged out jewelry.
No,
you know what I mean. No. Like it looked like he was doing straight. Mall change,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
$30 sterling silver.
I love a good mall
chain. It looked good. It was like you didn't question
mall
it.
Bracelets.
Yeah.
X.
At this concert, he was the only person. First of all, this shout out. This is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. Right, I'm backstage at these shows, and every artist when they come into the building, do you would be greeted by the show promoter. They give you the packet with your check in it, you know, your little details, the directions to your green room, and then 10 passes for you. And whoever you was with, right? Yeah. And it's funny to see someone like Jadakiss show up. One person. I think it's his manager or whatever. Boom, he rolled with it. A couple people that got entourages, but 10 was the number.
Yeah.
It's not even Meek's rules. It was the niggas that own the state. So X is like, we 5 minutes to X is supposed to be on stage. He's nowhere. They on the...
Why would he?
They panicking, right?
That's what he do.
Someone get on the walkie-talkie. X is here. He's at the ramp. He's got 43 people with him.
How many were wheelchair niggas? That's where you know it. Cause that's what slows hood niggas up. When if you're in your home, that was Philly.
Yeah.
Anywhere in New York, Connecticut, Philly. Like if you're a New York dude, anywhere where your hood niggas could drive.
Yeah.
Even like as far as like DC, anything past D, they start fading out. We're like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Boston to DC.
So fucked.
That run, like, yo, we got a show in DC, and like carloads will come. But we always used to count, like, yo, how many wheelchair dudes? Like, if you see a Woo show or a Lox show, Rough Riders, be like, there's gonna be at least 3 wheelchair niggas, and 2 of them will be on stage.
And that's what was so funny about it was, so he refuses to come in until they let everybody in, right? So they get to the door. They had everybody con. They try to tighten up security by the door and try to plead with him. Like, hey,
why?
Just come. And they like, no. And I do remember there was some wheelchair dudes there. But the minute that they was like, all right, just let him in. They, like, even once they said yes, these niggas just came through with this, and it was like, we said yes, what are you doing? They're pushing their way, right?
That sounds about
right. So now...
That sounds about right.
They headed to the stage.
Yeah.
Like,
All 43 of them.
No, some of them should go to the green room.
Nobody went to the green room. You can't tell these niggas.
Maybe if y'all can split. Right? Maybe if 20 of y'all go to the green room, hang out. Maybe in shifts. Hey, how about y'all switch mid-performance? All right,
this woman with the toddler, is she going to go to the green room?
No. She's going on stage, man.
Baby going on stage.
Yo, the baby wants to say, hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished.
So now this shit turned into one of them like Lord of the Rings. Niggas are trying to hold the door, like, you know what I mean? Like, just hold them off for 10 more minutes. That's, and you're crazy. Like, yo,
like one of them battles with a drawbridge.
Yeah,
they coming,
man,
through the drawbridge.
It was ridiculous, man.
Start throwing balls of fire.
And I'm watching this shit, and it's funny because it's girls. Some girls got fur coats on and heels, and I'm like, you got dressed and got in the car, came all the way down here, and now you just in like a mosh pit.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like if it was X's show.
Yeah.
It wasn't even his show.
And then the other thing, then you couldn't get him on stage. Once his set was over, Meek is out there like, all right, give it up for X. X is climbing in the rafters. X is climbing around the shit like King Kong. This nigga. He wanted to give five to all 50,000 people, you know what I mean? And it was like, yo, like, they just start the next act. Because it was a Meek Mill and Friends show. So, okay, like, everybody got, like, a 15, 20-minute set or whatever, you know what I mean? They just had to bring the next niggas on. X still running around. And that motherfucker came out T-shirt drenched. Like, he had been swimming. And it, like, 15 minutes, and he had sweated through his fucking T-shirt and his fur coat, man.
Yeah, X was a special one because he, like, there was no, like, he's a superstar to us, but to himself, like, he would just be in the hood. Like,
yeah,
just be around the hood. He loved it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even like, oh, I might go to the hood today. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I do. Like, I like to shop in some hood store. They be having clothes that no other spots have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to go at 11 a.m. Think that's when the wild niggas is in school or whatever. I'm going to go on a Tuesday at 11 a.m. I'm going to get in and get out. And he would be just, back in the day when he was out, we would like go to some spot in Harlem or something. He would just be there outside with like all the motorcycle dudes.
Because the energy different, man. Like, I'm a part of a motorcycle club too, man. Like, I miss it. Yeah, they even got the text that they was going to the plat the day that they heard that he passed. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming down to burn rubber on that shit. But I'm not going to lie, I do miss that energy of being able to come out and just sit on the step. Something going to happen. You know what I mean?
Something
like, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. Something's going to be good. But like, knowing that you don't have to go far now, suburban life, like, I lived in the suburbs for like 10 years. I ain't had no relationship with my neighbor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, they wasn't getting on my fucking nerves, but like, I don't know what this motherfucker was up to next door. Motherfucker hated me or what?
What's wrong with y'all, man? I got complete suburb energy. I know everybody in my mom hood.
Really? You knew your neighbors and your mom?
But you grew up there.
Dog
though.
Sitters. Some of them neighbors would babysit my dog when I was my mom's dog when she get out. Borrowing lawnmowers, fucking gas cans, going to barbecue. Yeah, I knew everybody.
I'll put it to you.
Block.
I know I was a big proponent of that when I was in the suburbs.
I was in love with a chick on my block. Mm-hmm. Needs to go over her house and visit.
See?
Yeah, okay, so you talk about kid shit. Yeah, yeah. I felt like they knew I didn't belong there, so it was probably my own shit. You know what I mean?
You went there later in life.
As an adult, as an adult. And I figured they looking at me like.
Yeah, I moved over COVID, and the neighbor is Puerto Rican.
Okay.
He's like a lawyer. He's like a big lawyer. So he knew who I was. So he gave me all the scoop, and then he put me on the neighborhood group chat.
Oh, yeah. No.
But nobody's really out because it was winter and it was COVID. But it was like, hey, this is Lewis over at number 6. Just saying hi to everybody. We just moved in, da, 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 da. And they're like, hey, welcome to the neighborhood, Lewis. You know, once all this is over, we'll come. And he was just like, he's from the Bronx too.
Right.
Like, so he's just like, he goes, wave to every car and person that walks by. Like, if you outside,
Jesus,
wave to everybody.
Christ.
And he's nice with it. Hey, how you doing? Welcome. Hey, how are you?
Oh, you got it down.
See, that's what I need. I need a non-nigga etiquette trainer.
Yeah.
You need to, because I don't have
that.
I'm
going to write a book for you. I'm going to get you a little.
I can't wave at every fucking car.
I do that. It's easy.
Try it
now.
Let's try it.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, I tried it. Like, this, I tried the thing. I remember reading a book that was telling me just try to walk down the street and just hold a smile.
Here you go, Dave.
For like 10 minutes.
That's an easy one. That's an easy one. Oh, here go, easy God. One. Here's the best one. This is this is quintessential wave at your neighbor's etiquette right here.
Yeah.
Wave like that and back up.
Yeah.
Okay, here's
the you don't wave, you just put your arm up and hit a little,
like, and act like you're about to go back in the house or something. Like, just something, they love that shit.
I only do that, I do that now, but that's only because on my block, there's a auto garage full of Dominicans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they
the only niggas I fuck with. I just, from the day one, that was my energy. As soon as I pulled up.
Why are you not showing love to these white people? What's going on?
The media.
Good answer. Great answer. The media.
Wave,
I can't.
Man, just wave.
It's the media. I the media won't let me wave at them. CNN told me not to wave at the motherfuckers. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. I wish, but y'all can stay the fuck over there and sell y'all princess dresses on the block.
Jesus Christ. This has been a fun episode, man. Sife, thank you for stopping in, man.
Is this it? We're done?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Why don't you say goodbye to the people? Tell them where they can find you at one more time, man.
This was fun, man. Yeah. At Sife Sounds, that's all, you know, that's all I got. I got a SifeSounds.com, but...
Don't you sell the hoodies, famous in New York?
No one manages it. No one manages the website. Oh, yeah. Very famous in New York. Yo, listen, I say that on stage when I do comedy. I got this little joke. I'm very famous in New York. And people kept saying it to me. So I was like, I'm going to put up a shirt as a joke.
With the New York Times font. Smart.
New Yorker, I think it's New Yorker Magazine.
Oh, the New York Magazine font. So dope.
I put up this shirt. For some reason, now I'm in the apparel business.
Oh, wow.
This thing started flying.
Yeah.
The guy I do the shirts was like, okay, we're ready for the next batch. We got this version coming out. I was like, huh?
What does it look like? Can he Google it and pull it up? What do you got to Google to see what the shirt looks like?
Veryfamousny.com. Very simple.
That'd be the shit, though.
Do be catching on, though. So, like, all right, you probably don't remember this shit because this go way back to comics.
Yeah.
But, like, my first time getting on the radar of you was the Don't Get Gas
shit. Improv show.
I came to one of the shows at Comics. Turay had brought me in with him, and that shit was retarded because it was a fucking Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And I remember, very
simple.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's flying. Girls love it for some reason. I like the girls with the big boobies because the New York is stretched out.
Yeah, that's dope too. Because this is one of those shirts. Oh, but it says your name in the
small, small on the back. Small. Don't worry about that. It's not merch. It's not merch. It's a brand, baby. That's a brand.
Yeah.
But I like that. Yeah, because anybody can wear that. That's dope though. Yeah,
Sife been the man. Like, here go three quick Sife stories from my.
You didn't finish your story.
Go ahead.
Tuesday night, fucking like it's just weird to find like. Sheik Luch, Joe Button, they're like in the audience.
This
was like different. I'm like, we gotta go to New York. Like it's Tuesday and everybody was out. You know what I mean? Like, and you was so just showing like, some like,
I don't know nothing about sports neither. And they used to be mad, like basketball players and football players. They're like, make sure you shout out this guy. Make sure I'm like, I don't even know who they are.
These things.
Wow.
They used to come to my comedy show trying to buy bottles. The club was like, why do they want to buy the whole bottle?
Because you did make that shit like a thing. Because I remember you used to do the thing where it was like the karaoke thing. Where like you would play hot songs and then tell the girls like if you could sing along and finish you get a shot. And I remember like the audience was so lit that no one even noticed the show started like an hour fucking
lit.
Right?
Litty.
And I remember trying to go back to Mr. Rod like, we should do that here. And Mr. Rod was like, shut up, man. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, nah, nigga. Like, nah, and that shit, it changed the way I started running shows and producing shit. Because I was like, oh, it's got to be a party up front. You know what I mean?
Three amazing Sife stories I got. Three. One, first off, shout out
Sife's
to Sife.
Like, I got to go, nigga.
I know. They're quick.
No, I'm happy.
They're very fast. They're very fast. First Sife story that shocked some shit out of me, that you was actually there when DMX filmed Get At Me, Dog.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. You was the DJ at the tunnel when DJ did Get At Me Dog, which changed my entire outlook on everything.
The DMX Get At Me Dog video is the closest actual depiction of what it was like in the tunnel on Sunday nights. Oh, with the Hype Williams flash to it. And the strobe lights weren't rocking as much as they were in the video. But that's when they come in, you had to take your shoes off. Security would clack your shoes, make sure there was nothing in there. Mm-hmm. Like, It was crazy.
That's some dope shit. That right
niggas,
there.
New York niggas was the ones who showed me how to get a bottle in a club.
Mm-hmm. And you wow.
See, like, New York niggas knew how to stuff shit.
All right, I'm going to save the last one because it was the greatest. Here the second one. I'm a janitor on the fucking, which turnpike. One was it? Turnpike. I was on the turnpike.
Jersey.
You know, mopping, sweeping, whatever. I knew Syph from the comedy scene in New York. Nobody believed me at the job that I knew Cypher Sound. So I'm driving in my yellow van full of fucking bleach and toilet paper one day with my fat little co-worker, Lewis, I think his name was, or whatever. Shout we driving. I swear to God, we driving. Cypher come on the radio and go, shout out to my nigga Derek Gaines from Philly and puts on Jay Electronica. Everybody was like, who the fuck?
Ah,
yeah. Nigga Cypher, shout out. This Jesus janitor Christ. Nigga?
Did you quit? Did nah, you quit?
Everybody was
did
like,
you
oh, this
punch
nigga
out?
Nah.
Jesus
was like,
Christ.
Yo, he telling the truth. This dude different.
Yeah.
He knows Cypher put on Jay Electronica for this nigga.
Yeah.
Like, why am I shouting this guy out?
Yeah.
Shout out to Derek Gaines. This is his favorite song. Cross my heart, niggas. Oh, shit. Cypher shot you out, nigga. It was wild. And I was like,
that's
that was dope.
Story,
oh, that was a cool ass day. I couldn't that's wait dope. To see. Like, nigga, you made me the god at my job.
That is dope.
Yes.
And then the last one, the one that seals it all. That's why I always love Cypher Sounds. Cypher introduced me to Patrice O'Neal. He was like, yo, Patrice, this is my young boy from Philly. Derek, he funny. He moved out here. He live in Jersey City now. He trying to get
oh,
out here.
Oh, shit. So y'all niggas go yeah. way
the
back.
Comics?
This was the comics.
Oh, y'all go
this,
way back.
This,
okay.
This one, you went back there to tell Patrice he was next, and the Lox was there. AJ and Free was there.
Yeah.
All she was your, crazy. Yeah,
all John Starks,
was
John Starks there.
Yeah. I don't know. All I remember,
see,
Red
that's
Cafe
what we
want
to try to recreate with NNFA. So we got to get that kind of guest
Red
list.
Red Cafe was there. This right after I'm Ill came out.
Yeah.
I think Fab was thinking about whatever. So Patrice closed that show out. And I'm just shocked. I'm standing in my jaw drop because Patrice sat down in front of this rowdy ass audience and then murdered for 20 minutes.
That's the show where he made Mike Vecchione bomb.
Yeah.
There was a dude named Trix. I know we gotta go. There's a dude named Trix from Toronto. He's like he's African, but he does a lot of West Indian jokes. So he's killing his joke. He got this joke about Jamaicans playing dominoes. Jabbo from Hot 97 is there, crawling on the floor laughing, and Patrice is in the back, and he's looking at Mike Vecchione. And he's like, "You hear that?" Man, what are you gonna say? What you gonna say? What are you going to... No, what?
Look.
Say?
Dylan's pointing, because this is what Derek does to Dylan. This is what Derek does to Dylan. We did a show together in Westchester, and I was cooking like that, and he fucking...
I was like,
oh, God.
Dave, I'm talking about Dave leveling a crowd that know him. Like, Dave is killing this crowd that he knows. Yeah. Just, and I'm like, you ready for this, nigga? You ready for these jokes? But anyway, so, that was the night Mike V bombed. And then Patrice gets on, but after the show, I'll never forget, Syph pulls up, he sees me... Looking at Patrice, go, hey, Patrice, this is my boy. This is my boy with Derek. He live out Jersey City, but he coming to New York to try this comedy shit out. And Patrice goes, oh, you from Jersey City, little nigga? I'll give you a ride home. And the rest was fucking history because of Cypher Sound.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He gave me a ride home that night and gave me the advice that I needed to be this guy right now.
Wow.
So
Can you tell me that I need it?
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, because I'm an excellent.
Please don't feed this nigga's ego. Jesus Christ.
I'm an excellent connector. It's free. It is free to support your friends.
Yeah.
We're saying this at the end. This is not Black Air Force One energy.
No, this is what Black Air Force One dudes do.
It's free to support your friends. Why are not more people doing it? I don't understand. Okay, what did he say?
So after I get the ride home, because Syph set it up, I get a ride home. And Patrice, right before I get out the car, I'll never forget this. This is why I love Patrice O'Neal. Because you know who he was. You know the kind of guy that he was. So I was like, so I was scared because, you know, I knew this nigga to be the New York bully. This the bully from Boston that made the girl... wasn't it? Well, whatever. He was the bully.
Right.
He was just the dude.
For sure.
So I'm scared. So I'm sitting in the car looking at my apartment, but I was like, I got to ask him. So I was like, Patrice, is there any advice you could give a young nigga trying to make it out here in this comedy game? So he looks at me and goes, well, I'm done. I fucking hate comedy. This is what he said. He said, I fucking hate this comics. This all this 14th and 9th Avenue shit. This is for you. Cypher Sounds, don't get gas. This is for you. Get on stage, I guess. Get on stage, say prolific shit, and get the fuck out of my car, nigga. Like, why are you in my car? Like, Why are you still in my car? When, and the way he said it made me go, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. But then he. This is how I knew Patrice was endearing. After I got out, he rolled the window down. He was like, I see you around the block, little nigga. And then he pulls a big U-turn, goes up, JFK goes home. Mm. I said, that was the flyest shit. This was within 2 weeks of me moving to New York.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just like.
Oh, you was coming up to New York.
Remember.
You wasn't living.
Yeah. Okay, I had moved and then I had went to that show. I was like, I'm going to Sype show. I'm in New York.
Wow.
It was crazy. And I was like, damn.
That's awesome.
The connector, man.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
Uh-huh. And that's what I got.
The name of the episode, then. The connector.
The connector. With Sype Sounds.
See, that again makes you see Mobbed Up again. And there's that Godfather answer. I'm the connector.
Stella! That's a different movie.
Yeah, so.
All right, man. Pickles, man. Say goodbye to the people, man.
What time? Later, y'all. Y'all know where to find me, at Dylan J. Negri.
All right, Derek, say goodbye.
All right, at The Great Boy on the Instagrams. Make sure y'all check out Comedy Lives. I'm going to post it up again today. We got shows coming up. And remember, as always, Dave, tell them what it always is.
You're just supposed to say goodbye.
I thought you was going to be like, there's no need for apologies and all that shit. Just some fly hip-hop shit. All right. We love you. See you later. Oh, so you've made it to the end of the episode, which means you fuck with us. So what I need you to do is like, share, and subscribe, and have a laugh.
And if you're looking for more, well, here's two episodes that we picked out specifically for you to watch next.
Just for you. No need for apologies.